Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sun.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwich with you. And you know, I don't know. I'm so frustrated. You know, I look around myself and I look around the world. And, of course, on Friday we had more terror in Mali. And where is the President of the United States? What is it that he's going to do? Is he ever going to step up and do one damn thing to defend this great nation of ours? I mean, you know, I know all of his advisors are advising him what to do. And is he that much of a pompous jackass that he thinks that he knows everything and refuses to listen to what's going on around him? I mean, again, I cannot knock his intelligence, smart man, when it comes to education-wise and books. But can we not all see the crisis that we're building here? And forget about the economic crisis that we've already built, you know, based on the stupid policies. But what about the life and death policies now? Okay, what about what's going on? I mean, are you, if you live in a big city, can you tell me you're not kind of looking over your shoulder at when the next ISIL or ISIS or self-loathing jagoffs are going to come and attack where you're at? Now, again, I don't want to strike fear in the hearts of everybody here, but is it not become a little bit different out there, you know, where it's now these guys are all over and they're hitting places all over? And, you know, we've heard the talk of the sleeper cells and, you know, people all over the place. I mean, do you realize there's a big population right here of people that are terrorists? We don't know who they are. But are we not at a point where it's time to do something? And then we have this ridiculous battle of whether or not we should let all these people in, and without vetting them, without checking them out. And there is no way to check them out. And, you know, for example, you know, you can get a passport, a phony passport, for $250. Okay. I mean, where is it and when is it that we are going to actually take the time to take care of us? Okay. When is the administration going to take care of the American people? Because we're in danger. And again, It's not easily solved, but it should be solved, and it could be solved. We've got the armed forces. We've got the Army, the Navy, we've got all of our people. And I don't want my soldiers to go out and get wounded or get killed. I mean, I get that. But right now, we need to defend our country. We are at war. You can call whatever you want as far as what you want to classify it as exactly. But at the end of the day, we are at war with ISIL, ISIS, whatever. And if we don't do something about it, we are going to lose a lot more people. And the tragedy of it is that it can all be somewhat avoided. Can you avoid everything? No, you cannot. There's always going to be something, no matter who it is, from the independent idiots that do things to a organized group of terrorists. But you certainly, by doing nothing, you get nothing accomplished. And I am getting so fed up with the rhetoric and the bullshit that this guy speaks. Every time he opens his mouth, it makes me want to gag on what his opinions are of what's happening. Because if you cannot see what's happening, then you're blind. Because this is a horrible situation that we're in. And now what it has created, and I have obviously a little personal experience with this, but now you have these other goofs that people that like to, you know, phone in bomb threats, okay, because they know that we're basically on, you know, high alert. So at my son's school, they had a bomb, not at his school, but the school across the street, they had a bomb threat. So they had to evacuate the area. Now, you know, I know in my mind that's not a legitimate threat because nobody's looking to bomb Central Illinois, okay? You know, I mean, in my opinion, right? Nobody's, you know, if they're going to do something, they're going after where they can get the biggest masses of people in the smallest amount of time. So, you know, to me, that was a phony, but just the thought and the fear that you have to live with based on that. And why aren't we going after them? Why are we not saying, okay, enough, it's time? I mean, this didn't happen yesterday. This has been building and building and building. And the problem becomes is eventually it becomes too late. You've got too many casualties. You've got too many people involved. And the scarier part of this is that as you relate it back to the economy, when you continue to create poor people out of middle class people, and you continue to step down everything, the people that are poor and getting poorer, they want to eat, they want a place to be, they're looking for something, and you know, I'm not going to compare this to Jonestown, but I believe it was 1,100 people committed suicide at Jonestown because they could be led, because their lives were not good. Well, it's easy to become a bad person if you're getting to a point where desperation strikes in. As human beings, the one thing that we always have is hope. And when you give up hope, you have now become in deeper trouble than ever. And unfortunately, because of the lack of what we're doing, because of the lack of leadership, the lack of saying we are the best nation, the best country in the world, and we are the strongest, and we're not going to be pushed around by these self-loathing assholes of ISIS, okay? But we don't have that. We have a soft approach. We have a president that would rather take a jab at the Republican Party instead of taking care of the business at hand. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Shoot me an email at bubba@thebubbashow.org or bubba@bubbatrading.com. I'm interested to hear what you have to say, because it's important that we all understand where we are. You know, it's scary, it's concerning, and we need to step it up, and we need to go out there and kick some ass, because that's who we are. It's enough of the soft peddling, the soft not doing anything. It's time to go kick their ass and take over and stop the nonsense. Anyways, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're going to stop by here for a break. We'll be back after the break with Jane King. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
Stay with me now.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time for the one, the only, Jane King, Lila Max Media, The Ka-Ching Report, all about my favorite, my friend, Jane King. What's up?
Oh, not much. It has been, we talk every Friday, and the world has changed, or at least the perception of the world has changed dramatically since we last spoke.
What the hell is going on? Take us through. I mean, let me just set it up for you. Jane does nationwide broadcasting on markets and other things in the business world, and is basically seen coast to coast. What are you seeing? Tell me, give us a what the hell's going on here?
Boy, I mean, I wish I knew. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody feels a lot less safer. I certainly can say that in New York. The presidential dynamics may have changed. We're dealing with this terrorism, I mean, this enemy that nobody in our government knows how to deal with exactly, and it's scary.
I mean, I would be very concerned being in New York as well. I mean, obviously that would be possibly a big target of what's going to happen. But what is wrong with our president who doesn't seem to care what really is going on? I mean, I'm sure he cares, but I mean, he doesn't show the appearance of having any feeling or fear of what's going on.
No, he doesn't. I watched him give that speech in Turkey, and he talked about how we're not going to change our strategy, and the reasoning behind it, that, you know, you create vacuums, and I was just kind of like, so you just don't do anything? I mean, that's part of why we're in this mess. I mean, yesterday we, had the raid on the apartment, or maybe it was Wednesday. The Copenhagen airport was shut down for a while. Sweden had raised its terror alert. I mean, this is going on all through Europe, and if more action would have been taken on this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, instead of people just, you know, being politically correct or ultra-liberal or whatever, I mean, I don't think we'd be having these problems. And, the argument, that the president makes is, being, anti-Muslim or anti-terrorism is a better term, you're giving them more reasons to recruit more people. But that's been going on. I mean, I don't understand what he's doing. I'm proud of France. I feel like the only way you deal with this is to be very tough and very harsh. And, why have we let their oil rigs continue to pump out oil, and they've been making money to fund all these activities? I mean, to me, that's a pretty simple thing to do. And to leave it to France to be able to take care of that. I don't understand the president's reasoning on this, and I just pray. I mean, when I go down in the subway, which is completely open and unprotected, I just hope I'm not in the wrong place at the wrong time.
And that is the bigger shame. You know, we always have, just in life in general, you always have fear of, something could always happen, something could go goofy. But now we know we have basically an organized group. And, one of the big problems is when you continue to create poor people and you continue to let economies do what ours is doing, people are drawn into these other nefarious activities because they want to eat. They want to live. And, this is no different than Nazi Germany, okay, and how Hitler built his regime was taking on the poor people that needed a place to go, and it's making the recruiting for this. I mean, this is getting scary with the attack in Mali and Paris and all these little things, and who knows what they're planning on next. And I think that is a concern, and why our president and this administration doesn't think enough to go get him. I mean, if it's me, I'm saying, well, let's go get him. Let's go kill him. I mean, again, I can't speak for you, but certainly I'm not happy that we are taking a very passive approach to this. What about you?
No, I'm not either. I don't think that's the way to handle this. And I don't think there's any good way to handle this. I mean, you can't sit them down and negotiate. We don't do any trade with them, so there's no economic incentives for both sides to play nice to each other. So what else do you do? And, you know, this is, I mean, you've got, you know, what's interesting about these people is, you mentioned, you know, poor, and that's certainly part of it, but there are a lot of these guys who are middle-class people. Osama bin Laden was very wealthy. It's something else. It's an ideology. It's a perverted interpretation of Islam. It's, you know, and I have Muslim friends, and I've worked with people and done business with Muslims, and, I mean, most of them are absolutely wonderful, and they're devout, but they're not, you know, off the charts like we're dealing with some of these terrorists. But I just think you wear them down. I think you kill them and you wear them down and you show your power. And I just don't know, you know, I don't understand what the president's doing isn't working. And he seems totally delusional. He talks about they're contained a day before Paris. And what's so scary about these groups is that they plan and they strategize. I mean, you're always living in New York or anywhere. You're worried about there's just going to be a crazy person, a mentally ill person, and you're, you know, they're going to push you on the subway tracks or something. But these are strategically planned, involving numerous simultaneous activities of just raw killing of people. And I mean, how do you deal with that besides you just fight back very harshly?
Right, and that's what that's what bothers me as well. I mean, again, we need to just take them out, and that's it. And of course, the guy in charge isn't concerned about that. He's more concerned about talking about the Republicans in his speech. I mean, that was like so far out of left field. I still can't believe that he actually said that. I mean, that was like, here we are in this big crisis, right? And, you know, a terrible tragedy in Paris. And here he's talking about the Republicans being babies. I mean, I find it amazing.
Totally misplaced and petty. And just, I mean, I couldn't believe it either. I mean, it's, I think his strategy, and everybody's just getting a little tired of it. And you know, and it's not just him, like the mayor in New York, Bill de Blasio, you know, playing down all this. And I mean, granted, I know that they know things that I don't know, but, still, I just look at the world and I look at New York and I look at what I see with my own eyes, which really isn't much of a stepped up police presence, certainly not in the subway. And which I feel like is pretty vulnerable. I mean, it's just wide open. I mean, anybody's coming and going, and there's no way to really, they can't check people every day. I mean, there's 8 million people who ride the subway every day.
Right.
So, you know, I feel like a police presence would at very least help prevent something and certainly contain it if something would happen. But that's not even, I mean, I'm not seeing that. And I ride the train every day. So I just feel like our leadership, I don't have a lot of confidence in how they're protecting me and my family right now.
Right. And of course, I'm in agreement with you. And, you know, as we get forward into, you know, the Thanksgiving holiday, I mean, you know, that would be, you know, we would be more with our hands down, kind of, you know, kind of celebrating. And, you know, that's a perfect time to see some more activity. Again, it's scary. It's sad that, because being the most powerful nation in the world, we should be able to, you know, as Barney Fife used to say, Andy Griffin, nip it in the bud and take care of it. It's not going to be easy, but certainly it needs to be handled and taken care of. And then, of course, Jane, we look at, you know, the overall, you know, collapsing of commodities and the economic system. Yet the market knows nothing but how to go higher. I find it really amazing that we just can only go up. Well, what do you have any thoughts to that?
Well, I just can't believe how Fed-obsessed this market is. I mean, during the Paris attack, we had our first chance to react Monday morning. I mean, what did I hear over again? Well, this probably means the Fed will be maybe less likely to raise interest rates. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, that's like all that anybody cares about, it seems like. Although, we've had some Fed speakers out lately, and they've been talking about how, get ready. I mean, get ready for an interest rate hike in December. So I think it's probably coming. I mean, of course, a lot of that depends on what happens between now and then. Just, I mean, part of it too probably could be money fleeing some of these riskier areas like Europe and coming to the United States. Maybe we're benefiting from that. Our stock market is.
It could be. Again, I don't see it coming, but the truth of the matter is it needs to come, because the only way we're going to get out is to bring back middle-class America and people like you and me to continue to stimulate this economy. So, Jane King, you are always awesome, and you know you do such a great job for us. We appreciate you, and I want you and your family to have a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for always hanging out with us and being on with us, and we continue to watch, continue to read the Jane King Kaching report, and make sure that you check her out on the local airways, because she is by far one of the tops. And what I love about you, Jane, is you just kind of tell it like it is. You're not afraid of it, and we appreciate you. This is The Bubba Show. We were with spending time with our friend Jane King, The Kaching Report, Lila Max Media. We'll be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break.
Margie said, Roy.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you, give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and it is time, and I'm getting awfully hungry too, but it is time for my man, Mike McClone from ETF Securities, the number one analyst, one of the smartest guys in the street. What's up, Mike?
Well, hello, Todd. It's good to be back, but by the way, that's a lot to live up to.
Well, you do live up to it, and you're going to really live up to it when I'm having that nice, big, juicy steak when the Fed does not raise rates, and I know you still believe they are going to, but Mike, there's been so much obviously happening over the last couple of weeks, and you know, we go back about 10 days ago with the Paris, you know, terrorist attacks, and obviously the tragedy and the sadness of that, and we can never, you know, obviously express enough how serious and sad that is. But were you surprised by the overall market action after that had happened?
Yeah, I think most of us were, and I suspect you were, but what I feel has happened is that situation, unfortunately, for the market, might have just cleared out a lot of the short base. So oftentimes when these things come about, you know that basically that's generally bad for stocks, good for safe value assets like treasury bonds, generally good for gold. Gold and treasury bonds have since come up a little bit, but the stock market really rallied since this happened. And I think what this has done is just kind of showed that positions were a little bit offsides, and I think a lot of people have short positions on. It looks like it just took those out, helped bid up the stock market, and one problem with that is once you take the shorts out, then doesn't leave much support below the market.
Yeah, it could be a lookout below one of these days. But so, Mike, you know, there's just so many things going on, and one of the problems I have as an individual, you know, as a consumer, is everybody keeps saying, you know, we hear pundit after pundit, oh, the economy is great, we're doing wonderfully, the things are going beautiful. But in the meantime, retail sales continue to get hammered, other than Walmart. But Walmart, their numbers weren't great, but they were okay. And, you know, we had Gap stores missed, and we had Best Buy miss, and this guy is missing, and that, and nobody seems to be able to make their numbers yet. Of course, the market continues to go higher. And my real concern here is that, you know, as Americans, we're supposed to have freedom of choice. And right now, you have no choice. If you want to make yield on your money, you have to go into the equity market, which I think is a very dangerous tool that's being utilized right now. What are your thoughts?
Well, agreed. If you have to go in and put your money in the stock market because there's no other place to go, that's usually a bad sign. In short term, it's great, but in longer term, it's bad. And why has the equity market really gone up? Bottom line, it's gone up because the Fed did QE3 and did QE. And I just want to bring in a little bit of analysis I just did yesterday. It really makes me concerned about what's happened with how the market's reacted. It doesn't really go up anymore because of organic growth of earnings and everything. All earnings have turned down. It goes up. Generally, it has gone up because it expects the Fed to be tightening, or in this case, expects the Fed to be tightening in a very, very slow fashion, and that hurts this rally that they've really helped create. But one thing that's really concerned me, if you compare it to Europe, one thing that's really been happening a lot this year in ETFs is massive outflows, and a certain amount of outflows in kind of the standard U.S. market cap weighted indices like the S&P 500. SPY is the most widely traded ETF in the world. There's been $40 billion of outflows in that, and there's been substantial inflows into European ETFs. ETFs attract the European equity markets. And I think part of the reason is because in Europe, as we just heard this past week, is that the ECB is going to do whatever it takes to create inflation. So they're printing money, and generally that's been great for stocks. So just give you an example, the last time when the Fed started QE3, it was September 2012, the S&P 500 was above 1,400, and it went up to 2,100. So it made all-time massive new highs, and boom, here we are, right? Well, it's about 33% above those old highs. Now, at the time, the ECB wasn't doing QE3, and there right now, they're still 20% below those old highs. So here we have a major dichotomy of the Fed, you know, potentially tightening. The U.S. stock market's gone up so much, and the European stock market is still well below those highs. I think that's what's happening, is the flows are going to where they can see some value, and, you know, somewhat into the stock market, somewhat to the European stock market, and overall, that's pretty scary. So I still look at some of the best in potential investments is the U.S. bond market.
Now, right, and of course, the bond market, the bond future, the 30-year came down, you know, about 8 or 9 days ago, down and made like what we would call a double bottom from a technical standpoint, and has now rallied up quite a bit from that bottom. So my question to you is, I know you believe that they're going to raise in December at the December meeting. And of course, I don't. We've got a big juicy stake bet on that. But now, looking at the action with the bond market rallying, okay, which means when the bond futures rally, that means interest rates are going lower, right?
Yep.
Okay. So, and now with the stock market just screaming once again forward, to me, that's reeks of that the bond traders have changed their mind, that they don't think that the Fed is going to raise unless they've already priced that in. And the equity traders are certainly saying they don't expect the Fed to raise rates. So what is it that convinces Mike McClone of ETF Securities that they're going to raise rates? Because the things we're watching, absent anything else, watching now the bonds rally, the futures rally, which means that rates are coming down, and the equity market rallying, which only rallies on the thought of that there's more free money or the free money is going to stay. Why do you say they're going to raise? What makes you think they're going to raise?
Well, that is a great question. I really want to distinguish the difference between rates and yields. Now, the bond market represents yields. They're 10, 20 years out, and the Fed really has very little control over yields, unless, of course, they're buying bonds. But they have control over rates. They control the short-term rates. So if you look at the futures market, Fed fund futures, they point are priced basically for the Fed to tighten in the December meeting, to tighten, increase rates. But what's more important is to look forward. And you may point out the major dichotomy sometimes between the bond market and the stock market. And that's sometimes I like to bring out some little differences. I used to work at the Board of Trade in the bond pit, and you worked at the SIBO, right, in the equity markets?
That's correct.
Right, so I'm a bond guy in my blood. To me, the bond market's always, you know, sometimes markets are wrong, but generally I go with the bond market partly because it's in my blood, having been in that trading pit, and, you know, I still believe in it. So what I think is happening is the bond market's looking forward, and it's seeing, okay, we are not seeing any of this inflation that the Fed's seeing. That's great, but they're tightening. Okay, so initially when that tightening came out, the bond market went down because there's deleveraging. Bond market's a highly leveraged market, so initially it went down in price, up in yield. But what's really happened this last past week is bond prices have started going up, and yields have started going down as the market's saying, oh, they're going to tighten. that actually could be a really good thing. If the Fed's starting to tighten in an inflation, in an environment that's really not creating inflation and actually helps create more disinflation or deflation, bond yields could drop exponentially and bond prices could go up a lot. That, to me, is what I think is the biggest potential trade against the consensus trade, and that's why I still like the bond market. So one key ETF I'd like to watch is TLT. TLT tracks a U.S. Treasury 20-year bond, and this past week, it kind of got to near the 100-day move, 100-week moving average. One little trick I'd like to pass on to the listeners is one good way to watch the markets is watch the weekly charts, because the daily charts will just make you lose your hair, and you can see on your website, I don't have much of that left. But the weekly charts sometimes kind of get away some of those distortions. It just came back to me to a really good value, and if it's gonna show failure, it's got to really sustain below this 100-week moving average. And so far, it's held up, and the trend is still up in price, down in yield. And my thought is, if the Fed's tightening in a deflationary environment, this could be really good for bonds. In a global space, the U.S. bond market and the U.S. bond market are still things that I look at. This is where something's got to give. Because if the bond market yields continue to tick down, that should have an impact on this dollar that's been stronger. It should make the dollar come back. And it shows to me there's a potential 100 basis points where the U.S. bond market can drop in yield and still yield much more than Europe. So that's kind of the way I look at it. I still think the better value is in the U.S. bond market. And so I look at it year-to-date. TLT year-to-date is down about 1%. The S&P 500 by the SPY is up about 3%. So it's not a big difference, and I still see the better value to be overweight things like the bond market.
And I don't disagree with that. I mean, again, I look, and I'm very concerned. As you know, I believe that we're in an equity bubble or an asset bubble, not an equity bubble, but an asset bubble. And I'm very concerned for the average guy or gal on the street who's heavily invested in the market, because again, you are basically being held almost at gunpoint saying that you want to make money, you got to go here, and that becomes the bigger problem. But in the meantime, when you look around, and you've mentioned this many times on air about retail sales suck, and they don't really show a sign of getting better. We've got tremendous deflationary things happening, which is another major concern that, you know, when you get these major deflationary moves, they can't really show an improving economy, because at the end of the day, deflation costs everybody from the producer all the way up, because at the end, if the producers aren't making money and the manufacturers aren't making money and nobody's making money, then all we are is going to get screwed. But when we come back from the break, I want you to comment on this whole deflationary scenario, because it obviously affects one of your favorite products, gold and silver. So when we come back from the break, Mike's going to take us through what this whole deflationary mess means, because honestly, it's not good. And when you add debt deflation, central bank panic, and all the other stuff, it creates a bigger problem. So when we come back from the break, Mike's going to take us through this, because my man can do it. This is Mike McClone from ETF Securities. You got to check out ETFsecurities.com, because I'm telling you, and I tell you all the time, their ETFs are the best in the business. They understand it, they're priced properly, and they know how to take care of the back end, which most don't. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We are with Mike McClone. We'll come back after the break. But make sure you go check out thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com. Take you to the same place. We post some of Mike's work there, as well as we post articles every day. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break with Mike McClone. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Mike McClone. And I got to get my napkin on, getting ready to get that big juicy steak at Gene and Giorgetti's with him. But Mike's from ETF Securities. And again, I urge you to check out their sites. I mean, I think that their products are great. And I actually prefer SIVR, but they're all good. But so, Mike, we've got this major collapse in the commodity space. And of course, Bloomberg Index 17-year lows. That's not good. Now, I know we appreciate it as consumers. We think we appreciate it as consumers, but I think that's a very bad and a damning sign going forward. Take me through it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. If the commodity market collapse, most notably the industrial commodities. I like to watch platinum, palladium. I've just absolutely collapsed this year. Let's look at palladium, the most industrial precious metal, down 1/3 in the year, basically indicating that they expect a pretty substantial decline in the global economic situation, similar to 2008. Now, I shouldn't say expect it, but they're priced for it. So if we get it, then they've already priced for it. It's unlikely we get something like 2008, which means they're probably extremely inexpensive. But overall, the Bloomberg Commodity Index down 22% in a year has to mean something. Yes, there's more supply, but it's mostly demand, and most of it's out of China. Some of the key things that you let in before the break were what's happening in the markets and why. For instance, in gold, the key pressure factors on gold have been the strength in U.S. dollar, because gold is basically the reciprocal of the U.S. dollar. Some people just call it the standard store value, and all the other paper currencies are just priced in gold, and they move, and gold doesn't. The stock market has done very well, stock market rally. It's taken all the attention, and this pretty substantial increase in real yields. Now, real yields are just basically the yield on the 10-year note minus inflation. So inflation is zero. The 10-year note's about 2.2, 2.3%, so the real yield is 2.3%. Historically, that's really high. If you look back in the 80s, real yields were negative because inflation was 13 or 15%, and the bond market yield 13%. So that's been a major drag on gold, and I think there's a big case to make that these things have been dragging down gold and silver are potentially going to shift. For instance, if that's why I keep watching the bond market. If the bond market yields start to decline like the rest of the world has in Europe, to me that's going to be a key thing that should coincide with the increase in the gold price. A lot of that will come from the Fed, maybe from the stocks stop going up, and all the above. But this, to me, is really what's happening, and that's why, bottom line, I always come back to, where's the value? Don't see value in the stock market here and now unless you buy some types of products that maybe give you a little bit of smarter type performance, beta, smarter performance, you know, give you a little bit of protection when the market goes down, and there's a lot of those out there. And part of the reason is because it's gone up so much in the back of QE. So that's over and the Fed's tightening now, so we've got to be careful with that. And I look at things like the entire world, virtually every central bank in the world is printing money or creating more liquidity. In general, that's really good for gold because it's a store value asset. But historically, one thing to remember about gold, it performs best in inflationary environments. Okay, well, we're not getting that. And second best in deflationary environments, to the extent that there's discombobulation in financial markets. But this dichotomy of the Fed tightening and the rest of the world easing and dollar strength is what pressured gold. But that's only been the U.S. dollar. Gold and the euro for, you know, this year is up 4%. So Europeans are liking it. It's giving them protection. But to me, that's what's potentially going to shift and change in the near future. And this dream of the Fed being able to tighten maybe 100 basis points next year as the economy expands and inflation picks up, I think, oh, amen, that would be wonderful. I'd love to see it, but I doubt it's going to happen.
There is no way it's going to happen. But anyways, so we look. Now, gold last week put in a new yearly low, and I think it is actually almost a five-year low now in gold. Are you still a fan? I mean, I know you're a fan, but is it time to buy more gold now, or is it time to kind of watch it a little bit? What's your take here of this? I mean, it is a little scary if you're buying it in U.S. dollars.
Absolutely. I have to stick with that, and I'm willing to get the bad phone calls and things. I understand it, but you and I both in this market long enough to know that sometimes you can't always pick bottoms, but you have to determine value and buy into their value. So gold, I can't find any of the precious metals that I don't view as extremely attractive. For instance, just the statistics that came out this morning is Chinese imports of platinum are in record pace. Chinese imports of gold exchange, you know, demand for gold is at record pace. India demand for silver is at record pace. So the market's responding to lower prices like it should. And what I see is unsustainable shifts in demand out and shifts down in supply. It's just not sustainable without a shift higher in price or a big shift lower in demand. And I just don't see that. So CDs is very attractive. I know it's been hard. The markets are getting at such an attractive level, it's hard for me to fight. Another thing that's happening in the futures market, I pointed out this, or the gold futures are nearing backwardation again, which has been a very bullish sign. This has almost been the longest period in history. Yes, it hasn't really worked too much, but gold open interest has jumped this year. Generally, the market doesn't go down when gold open interest jumps on an annual basis. Now, that hasn't worked yet, but, you know, we still have to get through this Fed tightening period. I view the entire precious metals complex as very attractive. It's just hard to define which one. And it's just these supply-demand trends are so strong. I mean, I can give more details. A lot of these are available on our website and in our Precious Metals monthlies and quarterlies. So, yeah, absolutely. There's the hopes it doesn't have to give us much more pain before we finally get some gain out of it.
Now, I mean, I'm not concerned about silver, but I am concerned because I own a lot of it. But why is it that silver is, it's just like, there's no interest. You know, gold has been basically in a coma for about the last 4 or 5 weeks, working its way lower, but not with any force. And silver just keeps, it's like eroding. It's kind of like, you know, a sandcastle. Every time the water comes up, it knocks another piece out of it. I mean, what do we see in silver here?
Well, you can look at it this way. If you have your fleet of ships and the whole fleet is sinking, but one of them's not, which one's the better boat to be on? And let's look at this. The last 12 months, crude oil is down 40%. The Bloomberg Commodity Index is down 28%. Now, this is the last 12 months. And silver and platinum, silver and gold are down about 7%. So they have been actually some of the best performing commodities despite this collapse in global commodities. In addition, at the same point in time, the dollar index has increased 12%. So my point is these metals, notably gold and silver, are showing very impressive resilience despite this whole surrounding, you know, horrible environment for entire commodities. So my view is that they're very attractive, and when the market recovers, which it will happen, just hope it happens when we're still solvent, when the market recovers, they should be the best, the ones to go up. They recover the most, partly because they're going down, at least they're showing the most resilience. So overall, you have to look in context of the entire space. So just look at copper. Well, the last 12 months, copper and silver are very similar in many ways, both industrial commodities. You can't really use copper as jewelry so much, but they're very similar. It's down 27% over those 12 months. That's 20% more than the price of silver. So at some point, as you see, you mentioned earlier, Bloomberg Commodity Index is, 14, 15 years lows, the down the fifth year in a row, actually the worst year since 2008. I mean, these markets are priced for a scenario as bad as 2008, and I don't think that's going to happen, which means they're very attractive, and we just need to turn around. It certainly signs of, all the signs of capitulation are there. It's just a question of how long it's going
to
last.
All right, we got about a minute left, but I want to run this to you, okay? We've got more debt in this country today than we had in 2008, okay? And that was the bubble burst because of the debt crisis and the housing bubble. Well, how are we going to overcome this debt, which is much bigger than it was in 2008?
An expanding economy and maybe a deflating currency. And guess what's not happening? The economy is not expanding very fast. We're not generating revenue faster than the 2% growth in the economy. And the currency is strengthening. So that all that is bad for debt. So the way I see it overall, this turned out should end up being very good for store value assets like the precious metals. It'd be wonderful if we can get an economy to expand at 5% and our debt to grow at 2% or even stop growing. But we're certainly not there. And Fed tightening is certainly not going to help that.
Well, I mean, we're not growing. I mean, you know, we can talk about the GDP numbers and all the other thing we want. We're not seeing growth. I mean, that, I don't give a, you can stand in your head and tell me how we're growing. I don't see it. I think that there's problems, but again, you know, we cannot predict what's going on. But at the end of the day, so we like bonds and we like gold still, and we're just hoping that we can remain solvent because it's very irrational out there. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And as long as we're protected and diversified, and we're, I think, underweight equities and overweight the assets you mentioned, gold, precious metals, a little bit of bonds, I think we'll be okay. And certainly it was great in August and September. We kind of felt, you know, the rest of the world's collapsing, and we just kind of were able to sleep well. So yeah, if that happens again, we'll be able to sleep well.
We can always sleep well, and I'm getting that dinner. My mouth is watering, waiting for my steak. But Mike McClellan, thanks as always. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. I hope you have a great week. And as we know, that with the holiday, and it's usually a fairly bullish week just that time of year, but happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go to etfsecurities.com. Check out what they're doing. Mike writes some great reports, and you get straight up analysis. And honestly, I'm telling you, they have the best in the precious metal ETF space. This has been The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you later, everybody.
Put some feel good in my soul.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.